Today on More to Life, nice isn't enough. Are you too nice? We're going to explore the difference between being charitable and enabling. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, nice isn't enough.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah.
I think most of us would settle for anybody being nice to us these days.
Yeah.
But whether that's true or not, that is settling, because nice doesn't really do much for us in terms of our Christianity or our mental health or our relational well-being.
No, and I'm not going to go on a big tirade against niceness or anything like that. I mean, there's a big difference, of course, between nice and kind and virtues and all that. But mainly what we're talking about here is the tendency that we all have, especially when we're dealing with a difficult person, to try to tiptoe around that person, to try to just be nice enough to keep our head down so that they don't get upset and we don't get sucked into the drama and we can just get on with our life. But sometimes that's not the right thing to do, especially for the Christian. So we're asking you to give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you dealing with a difficult person in your life? Someone that you tend to tiptoe around for fear of irritating or provoking them. Maybe it's your spouse. Could be a younger child, for example. There's a lot of parents who are afraid of their kids' big feelings, right?
Yeah.
Or your adult child who's...
still having big feelings.
There you go. A parent or a family member or even a friend who's having big feelings. If you are trying to confront that person and they've ignored you, or it made things worse, we want to help. How do you know when to speak up or when to let it go is the kind of the big question here. Mm-hmm. So give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, and the other reason not to do it is because it rarely works. In fact, I'd say it doesn't work. Because if this is a difficult person, now we're not talking about somebody who's going through a particularly tough time for a while. I'm not talking about somebody who's going through a tough time for the last 10 years. If somebody's going through a tough time, of course be kind, go out of your way to do something nice for them, be nurturing. That's the right thing to do because you know that person is who they are and they will bounce back after they've processed what they're going through. We're talking about those folks where, when you know you have to spend some time with them, not only do your shoulders go up around your ears a bit, but you kind of start strategizing in your head. What can I say to get this off on the right foot? What should I not say because I don't want to set this person off? How long can I stay in this space before I have to move over to another group at this situation and talk to them because I can't talk to this person very long? I can't trust this person to be somebody who is going to respond to any kind of niceness or kindness. If you are seeing images of that person that you really don't know what to do with because being nice to them doesn't make them any less difficult, let's talk about how to handle it today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, how could some theology possibly help me deal with those difficult-to-deal-with people? Well, you've come to the right place. So St. John Paul, when he was pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we took everything that God's given us, scripture, salvation history, creation, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And while the world tells us that there is no greater virtue than being nice or going along to get along, the theology of the body reminds us that Christians are called to something more.
All right, St. John Paul's book, Love and Responsibility, argues that Christians are called to develop the ability to respond to every situation with authentic love. That is, in a way that challenges every person, ourselves included, to be their best self. So, more than simply being nice, Christians are really called to exhibit fortitude in the service of love.
Now, practically speaking, this means shifting our mindset from how can I get through this situation without making a fuss or ruffling feathers or causing problems, to prayerfully asking, Lord, teach me to address this situation in a way that's charitable, loving, and effective.
So, to be clear, you know, we're not called to be abrasive or antagonistic. You know, that's not a virtue either.
Mm-mm.
But we are called to build God's kingdom. And part of that means being willing to lovingly address issues that other people might rather ignore, to insist that problems be handled even when it's uncomfortable, and to persistently, but kindly, call each other to behave in a manner that reflects our dignity as sons and daughters of God.
Now, all of this requires more than niceness. It calls for strength, confidence, and effectiveness in building healthy, holy relationships. Relationships that allow others to see the power of God at work in our lives.
You know, you've all probably heard about the fight, flight, or freeze response.
Mm-hmm.
But there's actually a fourth defensive response that our brain goes into called fawning. So it's actually fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And when we fawn, what we do is we placate people because we're afraid of getting in trouble. So when there are a lot of people who, when we feel threatened, fawn. We say what we feel like we need to say to get the other person to just leave us alone or not rile them up. And we, you know, will often think of that as a loving response because it superficially seems like it's caretaking. But this is this niceness that we're talking about here, that fear response to somebody who's antagonistic or hostile or difficult, that causes us then to not be loving, but be fawning. And that is actually a sign that we are feeling threatened, that we don't feel safe, and that we're not handling the situation well, not in any kind of proactive way, anyhow. And so that's another reason why nice isn't enough, because nice is really just a symptom of that fawning persona that overtakes us when we're feeling threatened. And that, you know, this is another example of how perfect love casts out fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
God is calling us to a place where we can step out of that fear and that fawning response to act in genuine love, where we can be our best selves and lovingly challenge the people around us to be their best, too. Now, there's an art to that, and it's not always easy to figure out how to do it well. And there are times, I'm not suggesting, by the way, that the only correct response is to always confront everybody all the time. If you're being prudent and you're saying, you know, I'm going to let this one go because I need to think a little bit about how to respond to this, that's one thing. But if the habitual response is, no, I'm just going to let this go because I don't want to deal with it, and I'm just going to try to placate the person and tiptoe around the person, that's that fawning response that we're talking about that ends up enabling the bad behavior rather than being authentically charitable and calling ourselves and the other person to be their best.
And it doesn't just enable the behavior, it actually feeds it. Because the more that difficult person is fawned over, the more they feel empowered, the more they feel like they're being given permission to be their worst selves. And so doing that, fawning, being particularly nice with somebody who is habitually like this is actually making matters worse for us and for them in their own souls. Because we have to remember here, when we are in a relationship with somebody, we have to work for the good of ourselves, the good of our relationship, and the good of the other. And that means not leading them into temptation and allowing them to get away with always being their worst selves. So, important information, but how is it going to work with that person you're thinking of right now? Well, let's figure it out together and give you some practical and faithful ways to deal with it. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people that we find difficult to be around, those people who can be hostile or antagonistic or hurtful in some way, those people that bring out that fawning response, that temptation to be nice just to placate them, just to try to get through, to avoid the conflict. Help us to know how to respond to those people and situations wisely, with genuine love, that challenges us to be our best selves and gently but persistently invites them to be their best as well. Help us to know, Lord, how to be truly loving in those situations so that even around difficult people, we can build your kingdom by cooperating with your grace to make those situations into everything that you are calling them to be so that we can grow together in love through you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Nice Isn't Enough, as we talk about those times when we're just trying to get by, when somebody's being offensive or hurtful or threatening in some way, and we don't know what to do other than just tiptoe around them. When is it? Well, what is the difference between being charitable and being enabling? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Christine, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes, hi. My question is, I have a husband that's very, you know, he's very threatening. He likes to scream all the time, and the kids are all tiptoeing, and they're all more aggressive. But I
how
don't
old
know
are the
how
kids?
To handle, like, let's see, 17, 14, 13, and twins, 9. And I end up trying not to enable it, but it backfires worse with my temper. And I can't get anyone to go to bed or do anything on time. I take, you know, vices away and such, and it just become more diabolical since my husband's back. Thank you.
You say that he's back. Were you two separated for a while, Christine?
Yes.
Okay, so how long? 13 months. And when, you've chosen to have him back. Did you guys work on his behaviors at all while he was gone? And did you work on the children's behaviors while he was gone?
He was unwilling to work on anything. He never wants to, but we're losing our house. But the kids and I had gotten a lot of therapy and counseling. It was very well, and now we don't have anything. We're on waiting list because they only last so long.
So, sure.
So what made you decide to let him back in the house then?
Because our house is in foreclosure. I can't afford to. I can't financially sustain the household.
So is he able to financially rescue you from that?
Yeah, he's paying the bills and trying to get the house out of foreclosure. And my two oldest girls, Grace and Mary, they kind of, 19 and 21, moved out from the situation and wanting to get out.
So are there times where you're able to set any kind of boundaries with him that he's willing to listen to?
Never. He never does.
Okay. And when you were working with your counselor, what did your counselor say to do in those situations?
She just told me to, you know, ignore him and don't talk back to him or anything, because it grows worse and worse.
Okay. Well, I appreciate what you're saying, and of course you don't want to participate in the, you know, you don't want to go back and forth. So that is correct. You're in a difficult situation, obviously, and he knows he has you over a barrel.
Yeah.
And that's a hard place to be. What I would say, and I'm going to qualify this, okay? At first, what I'm going to say here is that in normal situations, I would not give this advice, because it is better when parents disagree with each other, for example, for parents to have that conversation separately, to outside of the earshot of the children, because the kids just tend to get ground up when parents disagree with each other. So under normal circumstances, if you have a husband and a wife who, you know, don't see eye to eye about a parenting situation or some other situation, you let the situation go, and then you address it privately with that parent later on and work it out together. In a situation like this, which you're describing is kind of borderline emotionally abusive, or maybe actually emotionally abusive, the kids need someone to stand up for them. And in those situations, it's appropriate to say, I love you, but you can't speak to us this way. When you're ready to calm down and speak to us appropriately, you can come back and we'll hear what you have to say. But until then, I'm afraid that we can't hear you. You would do that with any child who is speaking inappropriately, and he is behaving in his child self mindset. So he needs to be called on that. Now, that's going to make it worse. He's good. And if you're afraid that that's going to cause him to lash out at you physically in any way, threaten you your safety, then I don't want you to do that. But that's what it's going to take. It's going to take somebody stepping in and sidelining him and saying, respect is the price of admission for any conversation. I understand that you're upset. I'm happy to talk through that with you if you can speak to me respectfully. If you need some time to calm down to do that, that's fine. I'm just not going to participate in this conversation as long as you're talking to me like that. And that becomes the broken record technique. You know, you can't ignore him altogether, because he's just going to keep hammering and hammering and hammering. But if you keep coming back with, I understand that you're upset, I'm sorry you feel that way, I'd be happy to talk to you about it if you're able to be respectful with me, but until you can get to that place, I can't have this conversation with you. And you just repeat that over and over again. That doesn't give him anything to hold on to. Right? So you say that, and he says, well, you're the one. You're the one who's losing it. How dare you lecture me? You're the one who's... And you say, I'm really sorry you feel that way, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that, but until you can approach me with respect, we can't have this conversation. I can't believe you're lecturing me about it. I'm really sorry you feel that way, but do you see what I'm doing? You're not giving him anything to hold on to. It's not quite the same thing as ignoring him altogether, because you can't do that, but it is not buying into the drama of it. Again, if you feel that that would provoke him to the point where you would jeopardize your physical safety or the children's physical safety, do not do it. But in this situation, the kids need somebody to stand up to him, and you need to show him that he cannot approach you or the kids in that way. This is not the normal advice I would give for parents, as I said at the very beginning of this. Usually, parents would talk about this kind of thing outside of the situation. But if there's a situation where there's emotional, verbal abuse, the kids need someone to fight for them. And that's why I think it's going to be really important for you to get back into that counseling and learn how to confront that person directly and get the support that you need emotionally to be able to sustain that through those situations.
The other thing that I truly want to add, Christine, is I appreciate how badly you want to make sure that you hold on to your house. We all want to be safe and have a home. But if this behavior on your husband's part is making you feel threatened, if he is going to escalate this into anything physical, you would be better off taking the children that are still in the house and going to a woman's shelter and getting the resources you need through that to start getting on your own two feet.
Or if not that, at least a place that you can afford on your own, because you don't have a safe home.
No.
The way it is. So, Christine, I realize that this is a difficult position to be in, and I know it's easy for us to say these things, but I don't want you to do any of these things if you feel it would make it worse. I would like you to get back into your counseling so that you can get the support to follow through with whatever I'm suggesting, but this is the only way forward for him to understand that he can't get any traction with you unless he approaches you with respect. Thank you so much for the call. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Nice Isn't Enough. Are you too nice? Especially when somebody is treating you poorly. Maybe you're dealing with a difficult person in your life, someone who's you tend to tiptoe around for fear of irritating or provoking them. Could be your spouse. Could even be a younger child who tends to tantrum a lot, lose their cool, and you're not quite sure how to handle it. Or an adult child who, you know, tends to lose their cool and tantrum a lot. Maybe it's a parent or a family member or even a friend. Maybe you've tried to confront that person with their behavior, but they've ignored you. Or that made things worse. How do you know when to speak up and when to let it go? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Nice Isn't Enough, as we talk about those times when we find ourselves around somebody who is difficult to be with. Maybe they're antagonistic or a little hostile, just hurtful in some way, and so we just try to avoid either dealing with them, or when we're around them, we tiptoe around them. We try to engage in what I was calling before fawning behavior, where we try to placate them or not bring up offensive things. But, you know, just being nice isn't enough in those situations, and it tends to enable that person. We're talking about being the difference between being enabling and being charitable. 877-573-7825. Before we go back to calls, I just want to let you know about a great opportunity to take advantage of the grace of the Advent season. It's a webinar that Lisa and I are doing tomorrow, Wednesday, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, sponsored by Ave Maria Radio, called A More Peaceful Family by Christmas. It's an opportunity to discover how parents and kids can use the grace of the Advent season to create a more loving, connected, and caring family life. We were supposed to do it last Thursday, but Lisa and I both had the flu, so we've rescheduled it for tomorrow, Wednesday, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Registration is free, but you got to sign up by going to AveMariaRadio.net. It's the very first slide you'll find there on the homepage. Just click that and sign up, and we would love to have you join us tomorrow to discover how we can really cooperate with the grace of this Advent season to have, well, a more peaceful family by Christmas.
Now, if you are already signed up for last week, which had to be postponed due to the illness, that link will still work for you for tomorrow night. So again, it's going to be filled with a lot of good spiritual and practical tips on how to make Advent a time that you cherish and enjoy and draws your family closer to each other and to God. Join us tomorrow night, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Well, that's right, because, you know, the Advent is a time for making room in our hearts and in our homes for Christ. And we usually get so caught up with all the preparations for Christmas, the cooking, the baking, the gift buying, the decorating, the whole thing.
All the things.
That we often forget the importance of really focusing in on letting Christ's love be born in our hearts and our homes. And we want to give you some simple, practical ways that any family can do, no matter how busy you are, to really use the grace of the Advent season to draw closer to each other.
And big tip off, it doesn't mean more for mom and dad to do. So we will not be adding to your plate on all the things that are going to make this super holy for you. We're going to be showing you how to share this with your whole family in a way that even helps mom and dad take a deep breath.
So once again, go to AveMariaRadio.net, and on the homepage you will find a slide for A More Peaceful Family by Christmas, which is going to occur tomorrow, Wednesday, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Join us. We'd love to have you there. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today titled, Nice Isn't Enough. It's good to be kind, you know, and sometimes we do need to let certain things go, right? I mean, it is a spiritual work of mercy to bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. But other times we need to admonish the sinner. And so we're talking about the difference between being charitable and enabling people. If there is somebody that's difficult in your life, someone who you tend to tiptoe around for fear of irritating or provoking them, no matter who it is, let us help you discover grace-filled ways to respond effectively so you know when to speak up or when to let it go. 877-573-7825.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When I've had enough. I ask parents, when do you decide to discipline? One of the most common answers is, when I've had enough. If discipline is designed to teach, then we need to discipline before we've had enough. We need to discipline because the behavior's wrong, not because emotionally it's pushed us to our edge. Besides, when you get to when you've had enough, you're much more likely to yell and scream and say things that you have to go to confession for. So, the suggestion is, discipline out of principle, not emotion. Principle means because it needs discipline, and I'm going to do it when I'm calm. Emotion means I'm going to be moved to do it just because I'm mad.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Throughout Scripture, again and again, we hear that we're to not be afraid, that we must trust in the Lord and be confident in God's providence, deliverance, mercy, and constant care. As theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar once observed, quote, when one surveys even from a distance how often and how openly sacred Scripture speaks of fear and anxiety, an initial conclusion presents itself. The Word of God is not afraid of fear or anxiety. End quote. What a powerful observation. When we feel anxious, God wants us to wrap ourselves in His grace. But sometimes that's easier said than done. A good place to start is to take a moment to remind yourself of all the other times when you were sure you were doomed, but God came through. Allow yourself to relive the relief you felt in those past moments. Then praise God for His past faithfulness and ask for the grace to remember that He is still as faithful now as he was then. To learn more tips for overcoming anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, Nice Isn't Enough. We're talking about those times when we can be a little too nice. You know, times when maybe we need to say something to someone about their difficult behavior, their frustrating, irritating, hurtful actions or words, but we tend to tiptoe around them because we're afraid of provoking them or making things worse or rocking the boat. How do we know when to speak up and when to let it go?
And how do we know how to do it effectively? Because as you were saying before the break, Greg, there is admonishing the sinner, which is a spiritual work of mercy. But none of us are really taught how to do that well. We think if we just lecture or we're just scoldy that they should just get it and miraculously change. But that doesn't really ever work to just do that. That's not really admonishing the sinner because it doesn't teach them what to do differently in our relationship with them. So how do we make that happen? Well, let's help you figure that out for the situation that you're finding yourself in today. Give us a call at On More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk right now with Kelly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi there. Yeah, I have a sister who has a difficult personality. And for many years, I think my family and I have done that very thing. We had kind of tiptoed around it. And then whenever she, you know, we got to the point where we did confront her over, you know, basically she's extremely inconsiderate. And we got to the point where we just had to sort of not even tell her when we got together. So this has been, I would say, like for 20 years, we have all gotten together for holidays and different things. And we don't tell her about them. But then it's gotten to this point where sometimes I think about it and I feel so bad because I know she notices. I don't know if she really, you know, we just kind of don't tell her when we're getting together. And she wonders, why aren't we having these get-togethers? But anytime anyone's confronted her over her behavior, she just explodes. She blames other people. And, you know, this is gone on, you know, so long, I don't think there's any way to reach her. So is that okay to do that? Or do you think that's too manipulative or sneaky to just say, well, we'll keep her at bay, we'll throw her a bone and see her once in a while, but she has literally ruined, you know, holidays, family parties with her behavior.
Now, when holidays roll around, like they are bound to, does she call and say, okay, what are we all doing for Christmas? Or does she not really care and not really want to be part of it? Like, where are you guys at with this?
Okay, well, she always cares and wants to know, where is the party? I want to come to the party. She never reaches out and says, not even once has she said, hey, you know what, guys? Will you come to my house? I'll make a turkey. We would always have been responsive to that, but that is part of how inconsiderate she is. She's wants to, you know, be invited. She doesn't want to bring anything. She doesn't want to participate that way. And then we've let her do that for so long, but then it got to the point where she comes in late. She's frustrated. She blames other people for, you know, how far she had to drive.
Kelly, let me ask you. So you guys have confronted her. She knows what you all think the problem is, right? She understands because you guys have told her this kind of behavior is hurtful.
Right. We've told her kind of in, I would say over the years she's been, you know, like I'll talk to her on the phone and I'll say, well, I think my brother is upset because, he doesn't think, you know, like when my dad was dying, she never helped. We were all really tired and we had to be with my mom and take her to see him. And she never participated. And when you talk to her about it, it's just excuse after excuse. Well, my car was broken. Well, I didn't have air conditioning. Well, I didn't have, you know, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
So it's always
all right. So the reason I asked that question is because the only way it wouldn't be appropriate to do what you guys are doing is if she didn't know why she was being excluded. Right? If you say to somebody, look, we'd love to have you be part of this, but what happens when we invite you is you do X, Y, and Z, and that really ruins it for everybody. You know, if we could know that you were, you know, taking that seriously and willing to change that, then we'd love to have you. But that message is bouncing off of her, is what you're saying. She doesn't take responsibility for any of that. She's not willing to make any kind of plan to change. She just wants to do what she does and have you accept her for who she is. And the reason that you don't want to give in to that is because then those parties, those get-togethers, become a near occasion of sin for her. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, as Catholics, we're not just called to avoid sin; we're called to avoid near occasions of sin, right? So, if I'm an alcoholic, I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to just not drink. I don't want to walk into the bar,
right?
Because that sets me up for failure. And to love somebody means that we don't want to set them up for failure. So I don't want to lead you into temptation. I don't want to put you in a place that you can't handle yourself, right? So I'm going to limit my contact with you to those situations that I know you can more or less handle yourself better, right? But if I invite you into this situation, you're going to lose it, or you're going to behave inappropriately, and people are going to think less of you, and that's going to reflect poorly on you. It's going to bring out the worst in you. It's going to bring out the worst in me. So I don't want to set us up to fail. Right, so that's actually a charitable thing to do in that case. You have to give the person an opportunity to hear why they're being excluded, and to be able to say to them, look, you know, if you were willing to accept, hear this, and work on changing, we'd be willing to come alongside of you. But if you're not willing to hear that at all, and you just want to keep doing what you're doing, then we can't have you in these situations, because that brings out the worst in you. And I love you too much to want to be somebody who brings out the worst in you. Right, so it can feel bad, right? You know, I love my sister. I want her to be part of things, and I feel bad excluding her. And you can look at it that way. You can say, well, gosh, man, I'm cutting her out. I'm shutting her out. But really, as long as you've communicated to her what would need to happen in order for her to be included, and she's rejected that message by just making excuses or blowing up or trying to, you know, kind of bully you out of, you know, asking her to change in some way, at that point, you've done what you need to do. You've charitably said, look, we'd love to have you be part of this, but these things are really hurtful and we need you to look at it. And she's not willing to do that, so which means that she's excluding herself from that situation, and you guys love her too much to put her in a situation that she's going to fail at and you're all going to resent her for. So, you know, this is why it's so important to really think through this instead of just reacting out of feelings. Because our feelings, you know, they nod us. Oh, I feel bad. Oh, my poor sister sitting over there. She's lonely. What, you know? Yeah, I mean, but she's isolating herself, right? She's choosing to love her own dysfunction more than she loves the rest of you. And anytime we do that, we do isolate ourselves. And we have to be given the freedom to do that. God gives us the freedom to do that, right? He's done more than anybody to try to facilitate a relationship between us and him. And yet people still choose not to be in relationship with him. And he grieves that, and it's sad. It breaks his heart, right? But he still respects our free will enough to let us choose to not be in that relationship. And so you're doing the same thing by saying to your sister, look, we love you. We'd love to have you be part of things. But these things would need to change in order for us to know that you could succeed in this relationship. And she's not willing to do that. So this is actually the most charitable thing to do. You know, if working for somebody's good, if loving somebody means working for somebody's good, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is withdraw from them because you become a near occasion of sin where they can't handle themselves well in your presence.
Right. You're not withdrawing in a way that's, you know, stamping your foot, angry, saying, I just can't tolerate this anymore. You're saying, I've, you know, given you the guidelines of how to behave around me, or in this case, the whole family, in a way that will make us feel loved and connected and work well together. And you're not interested in that, so this is really how it has to be. Or you're just withdrawing in that way because you know you've given that message already.
Now, it'd be a different story if for the last 20 years she's ignored you, and now all of a sudden, this year, she's, you know, going to counseling, and she's like telling you, you know, I've really thought a lot about this, and I'm sorry that I've been this way, and I can't guarantee that I'll do everything that you need me to do, but I'm really working hard on it.
Yeah, if suddenly you see the light dawning that she's gotten some kind of insight and she's not groveling at your feet, but saying, hey, I'd really like another chance. I'm working at this. I've heard what you're saying. That's a different situation.
Yeah, right. In that case, you want to give her the opportunity to start to work with you through that. But that's not the situation you're describing here. You know, like in the situation we were just describing, you'd kind of have to get over that resentment and say, well, you know, we're going to give her the shot. But, you know, she's not in that place. So the most charitable thing to do in this case is to keep doing what you're doing. You reach out to her in situations that you think that she could handle, where you get some one-on-one time with her to keep up enough of the relationship, but you don't invite her into things that you know that she can't handle well.
And I want to say this to everyone. If you find that you are in this same sort of situation, don't use the holidays as your litmus test.
Oh, yeah.
Do not have a relationship with somebody that has been difficult for 20 years, as you've been saying that it has been, Kelly. And many people have had extended problems, even for, you know, a year or so. Don't say, but it's fill in the holiday. Whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, Mother's Day, whatever those days are, that we suddenly feel like it should all be Hallmark and perfect, that's too much pressure, and it's going to explode. If you want to try to work on your relationship with somebody, invite them out to a neutral territory for a cup of coffee.
Do it before the holidays.
Way before the holidays, or after the holidays, but do not make this everything's going to be lit with, you know, Christmas tree lights and happy music, and it's all going to be great, because it will explode and it will not be pretty.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Kelly. I hope that these principles will help you think differently about that situation with your sister and give you some ways forward. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Nice Isn't Enough. And we're talking about those times well, we have to deal with somebody who's difficult to get along with, maybe a little hostile, antagonistic, hurtful, whether they mean to be or not, and we end up just tiptoeing around them because we're afraid of the conflict, we don't want to cause drama, we don't want to provoke them. It's understandable why we would want to do that, but it's not always the healthy thing to do or the holy thing to do. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
You know, we chose this verse again today because what the world tells us is going along to get along is the right thing to do. That we just need to be nice and let it go and get on with it. And again, there is a time for bearing wrongs patiently. You know, and that time is what you were describing earlier, Lisa, when you have a person who's generally trying their best to be their best, but they have a bad day or they're going through a hard time, and you give that person a little bit of space to figure stuff out for themselves and self-correct. That's bearing wrongs patiently. But if you get somebody who habitually is being offensive, antagonistic, difficult, hurtful in some way, and they just think it's their right to behave that way, the more loving thing to do in that situation is to do the other spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner. And knowing when to do either of those things is something that we want God to lead us in, which is why St. Paul is reminding us to not be conformed to the world, but rather transformed by the renewal of our mind, so that we can discern the most loving and appropriate thing to do in the circumstance we find ourselves in. With that, we're going to break. When we come back, more with your calls about those times when nice isn't enough. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Angie. Did you know a billboard can save a baby's life? It's true. You can make a difference this holiday by helping us spread the pro-life message to reach those who are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy. Our billboards and ads feature our 800 hotline for help, which connects people to pro-life centers nationwide that can assist with free medical help, baby supplies, and more. Won't you join us in this season of giving? Please make a gift today. Visit ProLifeForCrossAmerica.org. That's ProLifeForCrossAmerica.org.
As we approach Thanksgiving, a time to gather with loved ones, we're reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/Ave, you can create your will at no cost for the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Nice Isn't Enough. And we're talking about those times when we have to deal with somebody who's difficult to be around, maybe a little hurtful, hostile, antagonistic in some way, and we find ourselves tiptoeing around them rather than really addressing it in a direct and effective way. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Listener in Florida, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you guys for your ministry, and I've learned a lot over the last 6 months listening to your program, so thank you. I wanted to kind of get some advice on interactions with my spouse, my wife. We've been married 6 years, and, you know, we've had some ups and downs for sure, and, you know, some of the difficulties are kind of long-standing issues that haven't been resolved. And I find that when we talk about them, it tends to escalate pretty quickly. And I used to be a much calmer man and able to kind of respond versus react. And I have a counselor myself and have done some work, but I have found that I escalate kind of quickly with her, and then we'll, you know, not talk for days. Well, most recently, she had a work event up in the Midwest and was going there anyway, but she ended up leaving early. And now we've been apart for a good, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, and we haven't talked at all outside of a conversation after she had gone up north to visit family and be there for work. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out how to kind of get back in touch with her, and my concern is that it's usually pretty difficult to where she has a litany of complaints against me and says things that are pretty wounding and hurtful, some of it true, and I do accept some of the things, but the approach is very hostile at times, and it's often me kind of hearing what's being said and then taking that and then trying to figure out next steps and responses. And so I'm just looking for some guidance on how to kind of reintroduce communication and you know, understanding.
And you told her screener that you've asked her to join you in counseling, but she's resistant to that? Or like, what's her issue with counseling?
She is right now. We've had a counselor together in the past, but I have found that once some of the issues arise, I think especially with her, that there tends to be kind of a weaning away from wanting to go to the counselor, or some sort of kind of upset that takes us away from continuing the work.
So you guys are living separately right now? She's staying with her family?
Well, we're not living separately. We bought a house together last year, and she's up there for work. And then I think she's going to stay, you know, I think she's getting a psychological break from some of the distress that we've been under with the loss of a pet and some other things.
Yeah, but I mean, but you're living separately right now for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, yeah, she's with her parents up in the Midwest. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I said. And you guys aren't talking at all, like not texting, not just nothing.
Nope. I saw my counselor yesterday, and he made some recommendations about reaching out. But I also, you know, I don't want to have a power struggle, but I think that's what this is kind of who's going to reach out, and you know, I'm just trying to kind of feel my way here and how to, you know, not give in to the, you know, the okay. disrespect and the difficulty with, I know what's going to happen with the conversation, but also mm-hmm. I don't want to be without my wife and not
no,
be
of course.
Talking with her, you know.
All right, I got a couple of things for you to follow through on here. So I'm jumping in because I've got about 4 minutes before they play us out, so I want to make sure I'm giving you something to hold on to here. I'm glad that you're getting counseling. I want you to keep that up. So number one, I would like you to maintain at least some kind of basic superficial contact with her. You know, sending her a text every day, I'm thinking about you. Or, hey, thus and such is happening. I just wanted you to know what was going on, and I love you. I mean, keep it light. Keep it superficial. Don't try to address any of the issues. Just, you got to maintain some kind of communication ritual. Because here's what happens. Okay, because what you're saying, you guys aren't separated. You're not formally separated, but you are separated. And the dynamic that happens here is couples, when they stop living together, they get a break from each other. And they think, oh, well, I'll get a break, and that'll make me want to go back. But what ends up happening, when they start to talk to each other again, inevitably the argument starts. And then they start saying to themselves, well, everything was fine when I wasn't talking to him, and now I'm talking to him again. Now my life's all chaotic, and I'm all twisted up again. Maybe I just need more space. And then it just descends from there. You need to maintain some kind of positive communication to be able to say, we've got a way to talk to each other. Because right now, in this pattern of avoidance that you've got going on, it's just going to spiral out and wind down. So that's number one. It's not a matter of a power struggle. It's a matter of, do you want the relationship or not? Because if you do, then somebody needs to be the grown-up here. To stand up and say, look, I love you. You know, I know we're not getting along well. I know there's a lot of stuff to work out, but I'm just, you know, saying hi. This is what's going on. I miss you. I love you. You know, just the superficial, light, pleasant, positive communications. When it comes to actually having any of these discussions, if she starts unloading on you, what you want to do is you want to empathize with the emotion and redirect towards solution. Don't respond to the content of what she's saying. That's hard to do, okay? But what's happening is she's going into both of you are going into what I call the child self mindset. She's tantruming and lecturing, okay? And then she's pulling that out of you too. So you end up having two kind of 2-year-olds yelling at each other. You're going to have to find a way to get to the place where you can maintain your emotional temperature when she's unloading on you and not take any of that personally, not take any of it in, and just realize that this is what everything she's saying is basically a different way of saying I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do. She might be saying, you know, you big jerk, I can't believe your mother dropped you on your head when you were a baby, and why are you so weird? You don't want to take any of that personally. You just want to say, my wife is saying, I'm hurt, I'm angry, I don't know what to do. So you would empathize with the emotion. Honey, I hear how angry you are. I hear how frustrated you are. I hear how sad you are. I'm right there with you. What is it that you think we can do to move forward from here? How can we work together to handle these situations better in the future? Okay, which is point three. Instead of arguing about what happened, you're going to focus on, if something like this were to happen again, how would we want to handle it better? So you're not arguing about who said what to who, and how did it start, and who hurt who more. It's, you know what, we both agree that did not go well. I'm right there with you. I don't see it exactly the same way that you do, but I agree it didn't go well. So if something like that were to happen again, what do each of us need to do differently to handle it better next time? So those three things are going to be really key to getting your conversations back on track. We talk about all of this in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Again, that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. We look at 8 research-based habits that healthy couples practice that any couple can learn. We have a quiz in there that helps you identify your strengths and areas for growth. And we walk you step-by-step through developing those habits that will help you get through these kinds of hostile exchanges more effectively. Again, that's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thank you so much for the call. I hope that you can run with these suggestions, but we do offer more in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you are looking, folks, for someone to walk you through these situations where you're dealing with somebody who's difficult to be around and nice just isn't enough, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, your personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.